of me with this butterfly. She's click, 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 holding up here, click, 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 holding it down there, looking down here, holding it down there, look at my butterfly over here, look at it up here, and me staring at it and so on. And she took all of these pictures. I said, now take it down to the Photoshop and see if you can get them developed, all right? And so she took off, and she was happy. And now I had my pictures. But now I didn't know, what am I going to do? I've got a pet butterfly. I mean, what do they eat? I don't know what they eat. And do I have to get a cage? And should I get a leash, maybe? And, you know, carry it with me? I'm really concerned about this butterfly who has adopted me. I mean, it's just, it won't leave me, all right? It's close to 3 o'clock, and the butterfly is still there. The pictures have all been taken. The butterfly's been with me for 2 solid hours, going from one hand to the other and so on. Won't leave, is not injured, there's no problem. I thought maybe, well, it's just maybe a sick butterfly and it just can't get away. So I decide I've got to take a shower. So I took the butterfly and I put it on the manuscript that had the story of the butterfly in it that I had written that morning. And I had it just sit right on there figuring, maybe it'll recognize itself in this story. And I set it on there, out on the lanai, where the wind is blowing out there, and I went into the shower, and I came back about 20 minutes later, and the butterfly is still there, crawling around on the manuscript. It's now almost 3:30 in the afternoon. It's been 2.5 hours. And I reached down to put my finger next to the butterfly to have it crawl up and be there with me. Like it had always been. I just wasn't sure what I was going to do with it. And it looked at me the same way it looked at me when I went to pick it up on the ground. And it just looked, and its eyes sort of blinked, and its wings did this back and forth thing, and it took off. Shoo, circled around, literally made a circle around me out on the lanai, took off out over about 40 yards straight up into the air, and as if to say, I wasn't with you because I'm sick and I'm not injured and there's nothing wrong with me, and flew off. And that was the end of my butterfly experience. All right? And when you see the cover of Inspiration, Your Ultimate Calling, you'll see a picture of me looking at a butterfly in this longing, sort of beautiful, loving way. And we had a professional photographer come to take the pictures because obviously you can't use one of those real cheap cameras for this kind of photo. But the butterfly itself that's on the cover of the book is the same butterfly. And I insisted that they do that. I said, I know that the energy of that butterfly. So they took that actual butterfly and somehow with cameras and with computers and so on were able to transfer it. So it's literally the same butterfly that came. Now, what's the significance of all of this? These kinds of things, when you get to this state and you know you're in harmony with what you came here to do, you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. It's a new world. It's the world that Castaneda described when you do a somersault into the unimaginable and you land in this place that he called impeccability, and you look around and you start seeing with a capital S, and things start taking place and transpiring in your life that really shift it into something that you've never even considered before. It's a new kind of seeing. And that butterfly and that story is, to me, just more proof that when you get yourself totally on purpose in your life, you'll start seeing magic appear in all kinds of ways. I got this letter in the mail. It said, "Dear Wayne, thank you so much for your presentation and your tapes. You are frequently my traveling companion as I drive in my job. I just wanted to add my testimony to the power of japa, which is the meditation. I was an on or off meditator, but realized how much more smoothly my days went when I was on it. I visited Kenya, Africa in June of 2002. And met an 8-year-old orphan girl there. As I sat on the ground, she crawled into my lap, and a voice said, 'Take her home.' I physically turned around, but no one was there. Again, the voice said, 'Take her home.' Hearing voices. I asked my 18-year-old daughter, who was with me on the trip, what she thought about me adopting this little beautiful child. And with the quickness of a sprinter, she replied, "Go for it." When we returned to the States a week later, I realized that if I didn't follow through with this adoption, I'd always regret it. Regret seemed much larger than the task of adopting. I began doing japa each morning, and through a series of miracles, the baby was able to come to this country accompanied by a newly made friend. I named her Nellie, and she has been a blessing to me and my other children. Nellie's adoption was part two of God's plan. Part one had unfolded a couple of years before when I felt guided to sponsor a series of workshops for which I profited $10,000 with very little time or work. And guess what the final cost of adopting Nellie was? The first time I heard the voice, I chose to discard it and to think it through, making lists of pros and cons. But I could not rest until I proceeded with the workshops. That's how I explained to my family that I needed to proceed with adopting Nellie. Obedience had brought abundance into our lives, and now it was time to share that abundance. Nellie has brought the abundance of love and forgiveness into our home. She is truly a treasure. Thank you for sharing your gift of this wonderful meditation. It changed my life and the life of a little girl. Sincerely, Gail. 2 years before she went to Kenya, she raised the money that she needed to do something that she didn't know she was going to do. Do you see how moving into spirit, and you don't question it, allows you to create and manifest things that you had no idea were on their way? They're on their way. When you're inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of your thoughts break their bonds, your mind transcends limitations, your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world, a world in which miracles become the norm. And then five, dormant forces come alive. Dormant forces. These are forces that you thought were dead, were inaccessible. There is something that starts to take place as you elevate your consciousness, as you change your vibrations, as you tend to get yourself more into vibrational harmony in your thoughts with what it is that you would like to create and what kind of a world you'd like to live in. When you are offering up to that high energy of your desires the same kinds of thoughts about it being on its way, something seems to conspire to come alive and to bring the right people there for you. Victor Hugo said, "There's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come." An idea is just a thought. And when that thought's time has come, and you are ready, and you are connected to God and in spirit, it starts working in the strangest of ways to make sure that what you are looking for is going to manifest. Dormant forces can come alive, and you can access these dormant forces as long as you stay connected to spirit.